and welcome to Parade of Dicks. I am your host and dick finder general. Cue sound effect. Lucy Buttons. I'm here with my co-producer, Jonelle.
Hello.
And we have the third part of our home team, Miss Allegra Spread.
Ahoy hoy.
Are you a sailor now?
I don't even know.
She does swim.
Oh, yes, and we are going to get into that.
Ooh.
Girl.
Well, you know what? Actually, I'm going to skip down the dick disqualifier list then and say that one of my dick disqualifiers is someone who's homophobic.
Mm.
Well, look, that's very important considering that you do have a queer person on this show and a couple of queer people are listening to this show. So if you're queer, definitely throw us all of your queer topics and questions at me at Twitter at Allegra_spread.
Nice plug.
Anyway, homophobes can literally suck a dick and die in a fire. So
when you were still living the straight life, were any of the men that you dated homophobic?
Absolutely. Yes.
Tell a story.
So, I've been queer for a very, very long time, but I've been presenting straight for the majority of my life. And so I dated men for the first kind of an excess of 10 years of sexual activity, which is a long fucking time to be taking.
Long time to be hiding that.
No, it wasn't so much hiding it as just taking the D and not realizing it wasn't what I was meant for. So, one of the things that I kind of would gauge about, and a lot of, one of my dick disqualifiers when I was dating men was if they were homophobic, because I had two of my best friends were gay. One was a homosexual, like a guy, and one was a girl, a lesbian and a gay guy, very close in my life. And I spent a lot of time in gay bars myself as well. And if they weren't comfortable with me spending time in a gay bar or weren't comfortable with my close relationship with my gay best friends, then I didn't have any time for them. Also, it's just like, what kind of activity of someone else's life is impinging on your personal life?
Absolutely.
It's got nothing to fucking do with
you. Do you?
Kind of topical considering Australia is literally right now voting to yes or no gay marriage by postal vote, plebiscite. It's fucked. They're doing a census.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons why they're doing it. I think it's because they don't want to there are some conservatives in parliament that they don't want to out as homophobes, so they're letting them vote privately via mail. So,
wow.
And I really unfortunately do still think that Australia is going to vote no, and it's going to keep getting pushed back, and it's been pushed back for a decade already. There've been several rallies every year about gay marriage, and I just have never understood why anybody's life, their own personal life, would impinge on someone else, unless you're Absolutely. Going around and literally hurting people or being abusive or
But generally, gay people don't really do that. No. That's not really a thing. The people that do angry, aggressive things are people that are suppressed.
That's true.
Or people that were abused.
Yeah.
Or, true. You know what I mean? It's or people that suffer from mental illness.
Yeah. Yeah. People that are deeply mentally ill. And unfortunately, it's a lot of straight people that tend to be homophobic and also tend to be mentally ill that end up bashing, gay bashing and stuff like that. Like there recently has been three trans women that have been murdered. And I wish I had my phone on me so I could repeat their names and say rest in power, because they did not deserve to die because people are terrible.
St. Louis is having the same problem right now.
One of the women who just died was from St. Louis.
Oh, I thought you meant in Australia. Sorry.
No. They're all in the States. I'm sure there are trans women dying in Australia too. Anyway, it's fucked and it's ridiculous. And
so it's a good dick disqualifier.
It's great.
Please fucking tell us you agree.
Of course. Okay. I mean, I totally agree. Growing up in the Philippines, the Philippines is kind of a weird place. It's very, very Catholic. Mm. It's 95% Catholic. But I could really, with 100% my entire heart, say that they are not homophobic in one sense. So in the Philippines, gay people are very, very a big part in the culture, as long as you are presenting gay.
Oh, right. We did talk about that.
Yeah, we talked about this a long time ago.
And aren't there there's a certain name, like a lady boy or something.
Yeah. No, not a lady boy, because that's a little bit more.
That's Thailand.
Thailand.
Okay. Sorry.
So in the Philippines, if we call it bading, so, you know, bakla is gay, but bading is flaming gay. So beauticians is kind of like the, you know, in the Philippines, labor is very cheap. And there's a parlor every corner. And a lot of the people that own it and work in it are, you know, gay people. And that's has been part of our culture for a long time. And they are always on TV. They're always fun.
Gay marriage is legal?
No, it's not, because it's Catholic. So so
the this thing, is why there should be a separation of church and state. That is true.
Yeah. But again, mm-hmm. you know, it's still the 300 years of colonization of the Philippines by the Spaniards. It's still, you know, that's the kind of government that we're running. They, even though if they say that it's separate, if a bishop tells the congregation to vote this way or the other way, they're still going to follow. So
yeah,
fucking bishops.
Yeah,
interesting. But, considering there's a lot of like, there are a lot of homosexuals permeating the Catholic Church, and also a lot of homophobia permeating Catholic society. There's actually, fun fact, a gay Catholic church in New York City.
There, wow.
That my Costa Rican girlfriend wanted me to go to. And I told my parents about it. And they were like, oh, there really is something for everyone in New York. They're like, did you go? I said, no. Because I'm like, being gay and being Catholic, I kind of don't want to mix the two entirely.
Is the gay pushback in Australia religious-based or just biased? Oh.
Totally.
And that's like, part of the reason that you were presenting as straight for so long, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. I was like an active member of the church. I did lots of, I ran youth groups. I did like retreats and stuff with my brothers. My brothers are hardline Catholics. My family are very hardline Catholics. And I was terrified to tell them that my best friends were gay, let alone to come out myself. So,
gotcha. And that's part of why you came here, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And how's that been with them since?
Well, it was kind of, it wasn't delivered the way that I wanted it to be. It wasn't in person. I literally had to tell them by a text message because I couldn't get them to agree to a Skype in like a Skype call. They were supposed to visit me. They didn't come visit. So I literally had to text them to tell them about my queerness, and it was received well by at least one person, and that's all that matters.
Yeah. Well and it's been a process for you too, I think, like finding your people here and your support system and all that stuff. And absolutely. I think one of the things that's been interesting, so we've been friends for a little over a year now.
Mm-hmm. I got a fun little Facebook memory
reminder
today.
Yeah, and it was like a year and a half. And we've been friends for a year now too, Janelle, but it was like a year and a half maybe since we met each other. Mm-hmm. And when I met you, you definitely presented really straight. And I remember you talking a little bit about your frustration with that because you weren't getting hit on. Or when you would talk to someone.
I wasn't presenting as queer at all.
Yeah. And when you were talking to someone at the bar that Janelle and I could clearly see there was flirtation.
Oh, I'm still so mad about that.
That one, the one especially. But like, you don't know how to close.
Hot. She's so hot.
She was trying so hard too.
She's so hot.
She's like, damn it, woman, make a move.
She's still hot. Come back to New York,
but
please.
You couldn't close. And so I remember standing on the train platform talking to you about it, and you were kind of frustrated. I'm like, well, if you want to be treated more queer, then present more queer. And now I'm looking at a woman with a shaved head and barely any eyebrows because you've recently shaved them off.
They're really wearing, a lot longer than they have been for a month. Yeah.
Wearing, pardon me for describing this outfit, but a t-shirt with no sleeves. They've been removed. And
it was removed like and sewn. So this is removed and sewn.
It doesn't matter. It still gives, it's cut like offs. A muscle tee.
They're it is a muscle offs. Tee.
And some floral leggings, which you know how I feel about leggings. But
it's cut. This shirt covers my crotch, though. So at least you can't see my camel toe.
We don't have to have a camel toe podcast. But so how... she flashed it.
So you asked for it.
But now that you are presenting more queer, sometimes you find instances where you fucking hate that, too. So how has that been since you shaved your head and you shaved your eyebrows and you dress maybe a little different?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of great. I mean, all the queer people in my neighborhood, in my work neighborhood, are very much like on the same page as me now. And we talk about lots of different things. I see them at the beach. Like, it's cute. We have a friendly little flirtatious thing going. Nothing more than that.
And it's helped you build your circle, I think.
For sure. Yeah. It's actually like, it's been great. Like, I mean, I was at a bar, at a show, at a drag show, and someone... approached me and was like, hi, I came over because you're cute. And then we hung out the whole night. It was super cute. It was great. Like, I was able to connect with another queer person, have a little kiki, have a little dance. Nothing really happened, but it was still nice to be visible. And it is an act of, like, resistance to be queer and be visible.
Absolutely. Do you remember the first time you went out in drag, though, in your neighborhood in, like, South Slope? And you went to the supermarket?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I do. That was crazy. That was before I'd actually started performing, but I did my practice face. Yes. And I forgot to buy coconut oil to take off my fucking face. And I was like, oh, my God, no. And I had to go into my little Park Slope grocery store. And this guy was, like, visibly super angry at my presence in this grocery store. And I'm like, guy, I'm not going to fucking touch you. Relax. Not here for you, queen. Here for coconut oil. Chill.
And now you're more comfortable with that, but you still have moments. With it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And it was a really strong reaction that day. Like, the way you just described it was not...
But the thing is, I didn't leave the house as Allegra. I left the house as my muggle self with Allegra's face on. And right. What we had talked about and what really helped when we discussed it was you're like, yeah, but you should just be Allegra if you're dressed as Allegra. Own that. Mm. Like, own that face and walk that walk and just be her. And then you won't be...
Yeah.
You know, you won't be scared or whatever. And then since then, I haven't had any.
Yeah, it's tough to be half an
hour. Any issue. And I like, we'll talk to people in face as Allegra. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think is powerful about burlesque and drag is that, and maybe that you, Jonelle, could learn something from a little bit is that when you want to be on and you have your face on and your outfit on and the whole thing and you want eyes to go to you in a room, that's sort of a conscious decision you can make.
It's a choice.
It can happen. Anyway, when you're not in those things and you can get attention that you don't want and haven't worked for. But that's what drag queens do it really well, because when they're on and they're in a room, they can even not be in face and still be that person and still get that kind of attention.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But I want to talk about the other stuff because you were speaking to landlords and building management. And I remember one of your posts saying that you needed to be more presentable in order to not scare people off. So that's kind of like one of the things that I myself sometimes need to struggle with in a, you know, working in a corporate environment with my tattoos and my hair. If I'm going to meet somebody that's a little bit more higher up or a little bit more conservative than I would want, I myself have to adjust. I don't feel that I am cheating myself with regards to my personality, but I want to hear more about your thinking when you're saying, okay, I'm going to meet this person, I'm going to tone Allegra down and be more muggly.
Right. Yeah. So like I had these levels of potato that I think I've actually talked about on the podcast before. You giggle. Everybody giggles when I tell them this. So there's obviously like regular ass potato, and usually for work, I mean, I don't wear makeup to work. I wear comfortable, loose-ish fitting clothing, nothing that's particularly sexy, stuff that I can get covered in, like, you know, it's, you know, restaurant level clothing, right? You know, I wear my Doc Martens, like whatever, they're leopard print, just FYI. People like always comment on my boots, but that's the only thing they're commenting on. The other thing they comment on is my eyebrows or lack thereof these days.
Right.
I'm not there to pick up.
But
outside of that, I consciously choose what I'm wearing to like what kind of folks that I want to like talk to, or if I want to be attracting a vibe of some kind. So I'd put on like, you know, a little lick of eyeliner, like some wings or something, maybe a little bit of lip gloss or lipstick, and I'd call that sweet potato. And then if it's like a full kind of party makeup face, I call that disco fries. Okay. So...
I love that.
Yeah, it's my own like potato.
So I think a big difference between women and men generally, although I think that people that are non-binary maybe fall somewhere different on this, is that women tend to make more choices about the armor that we want to wear for the day than men do. Men get up and they put on a shirt and pants or shorts, depending on the season, and maybe something over that, depending on the season, and leave the house. Maybe you style your hair. You have long hair, so you have to. But women, like, choose every single fucking thing. Like, when you see those things, those scenes in movies and television shows where they've tried on several clothes and there's a pile of clothes on the floor, like that really happens.
True. Mm-hmm.
Because when you're a kid, when you're an adolescent, like you can't decide who you need to be to not get picked on to make friends in school. But that still happens sort of as an adult. If I'm going to, yep. I have one wardrobe for my day job. I have one wardrobe for burlesque. I have one wardrobe for vintage things. I wear different clothes when I'm salsa dancing. And then I have my extremely muggle self that you'll only see if you live in my neighborhood.
That's even pushing it.
Yeah.
Depending if you're going somewhere else.
Because I usually get dressed just to leave the house. I usually put a little makeup on and I usually do my hair to some degree or whatever. So, yeah. I don't think men do that as much, but it is a choice you can make.
Yeah. It's not as detailed as, you know, I totally agree. Like, women have a lot more details with regards to what you call armor. For men, it's a little bit more basic. It's business casual, semi-formal, formal.
But there's room in there.
Yes, there
because
is.
Because the shirt, there's shirt details, mm-hmm. you know, even if you're wearing a button-up shirt and color and combinations of it, there's ironing it and not ironing it, which makes a huge difference. There's the kind of watch that you wear.
Exactly.
And all of those types of things that make a big difference.
I think it really depends how detail-oriented you are. As someone who identifies as genderqueer, when I'm picking my wardrobe now, I decide how femme or mask I want to present that day or if I want to mix it up. Like, for example, I'm wearing a lifeguard muscle tee and I'm wearing floral leggings. I wanted to be in the middle today because I'd been sitting in a very like femme space all weekend and kept being called Miss, Ma'am, etc. And it was starting to really irk me a little bit because like as much as I very much present, because I much present as femme, it kind of like it still bugs me that people can't just address me as a person rather than as a gender first. That's the only reason why it bugs me.
And that's why I raised the question because at least on my aspect, it's just the usual assumptions that people look at if you have tattoos and long hair and you're not white and you're short. So I need to work a little bit harder than most people or cover some up or show off some more things depending on the situation. But with regards to the queerness of your situation, Allegra, it's there's far more choices. And I'm just fascinated. Right. I can be a little bit more femme today. I can be a little bit more butch. I can be, so depending
really
on.
Really depends how I'm dressed.
That's great. I mean, I love the customization of it. I will be daunted. I'd be like,
I kind of is a bit daunting. And sometimes I feel a bit like a paper doll. And other times I look at my wardrobe and I'm like, I want to set it all on fire. Nothing, none of this really reads as me anymore because I keep changing.
Yeah.
My aesthetic.
So speaking of your weekend, though, we haven't done your updates in a while. And I happen to know what you did this weekend. So you're dating someone new?
Yes.
Okay. Tell us about that. How did you meet them? What's going on? What is it?
Well, funny that we're talking about presenting queer because she didn't actually realize I was queer until she saw that I'd shaved my head the last week of the drag pageant that I was in. So when I did a wig reveal and I took my wig off and she saw I had no hair, she was like, ah, and had no idea that I was queer until that point.
Okay.
She only saw you in a wig?
Huh?
She only saw you in a wig?
She'd only met me as Allegra.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a little while ago, you were dating a trans person or you went out with a few different trans people.
Yep.
And you've been talking about how you've been on the queer cruising page.
Yep.
But now you're dating a female and she is a lesbian. You called her a super lesbian and I asked you if she wears a cape.
She doesn't wear a cape and actually only refers to herself as a lesbian for ease of reference and is actually more queer and actually doesn't identify as a super hard-lined woman actually either.
Okay. Well, that's news since last week.
It's news for me too. So, okay. Yeah.
We're learning.
So it really, yeah. So I mean, I really am just attracted to people that are like very either, you know, they're not a hard line in the Kinsey scale of gender. So they're like,
you're pansexual, you don't care.
Yeah. I mean, it's not got really nothing to do with parts at all. It's got to do with energy.
Oh.
And yeah. And good. Yeah. Their energy was kind of more femme of center. And I was kind of like, you know, yeah.
What's her pronoun? She still or they?
I think so. Yeah. Okay. She, they.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So how is the sex?
Ooh. Amazing.
Ooh. 2 weekends nonstop. I want to say bone fests, but that doesn't seem appropriate. Although you had a new experience this weekend. Please tell us about it.
So I got to finally experience using a strap-on.
Giving Yay. Or taking?
Both.
Ooh. Oh, okay. How was that?
So the fun thing with people that are kind of like not exactly on one side or the other of the Kinsey scale of gender is I like to really also really like switchy people that are kind of versed and know what they're doing.
You're avoiding the question.
What was the question again?
How Sorry. Was it?
You've used the strap on great. For the first time in yeah. both regards. How was it?
It was great. Yeah.
Was it awkward awesome. Having a penis?
It for like 5 seconds.
Because was it exhausting?
No. Not even. I don't know what the fuck y'all are complaining about.
I'm not complaining.
I'm going to hijack this for 1 second mm-hmm. to talk about endurance. And one thing that Lucy and I were talking about on the couch the other day, just hanging out, having a couple hangs, having a kiki, is that we believe that in terms of endurance, folks that, you know, like dick owning folks seem to like, you know, once and they're like pretty satiated and they're pretty much done. And on the other side of the spectrum, it's like, again and again and again and
yeah.
again.
Yeah. So I want to have sex about 7 times in one day. We talked about this yep. not on an episode you weren't on with Pandora, that I like to come multiple times.
Yeah.
And that I won't be satisfied until I'll masturbate at like 3 to 12 times in one day or whatever. So we were talking about how it's really unfortunate when you sleep with a man because the man will. Maybe he'll go down on you and maybe he'll make you come mm-hmm. and then you'll have sex and then he'll come and then you're done for the entire yep. day.
That yeah, we're talking always, about cis men, just to clarify.
That has always been the complaint with the male of the gender. We pop one and that's it. On most people.
Well, I've also had a couple of men, and I do date men that are a little bit older than me, but not like old men. And I've on more than one occasion thought that they might actually die on top of me. Yeah. Like, they were so fucking tired, so sweaty. Like, I was like, is this person going to... And then I'm just going to be trapped underneath, like...
And we talked about this before because, unfortunately, this was a topic that we were all here. Not a lot of people talk about most men being chronic masturbators. So when you're a chronic masturbator...
I don't think they're necessarily related.
John L.
What?
I don't think it's... I really think that it's... I think it's more of a, it's not even a cardiovascular question.
No, it might be exactly the thing because
you're so avoiding all the questions about your new girlfriend that we got off topic.
Most men that are not learned, nobody talked to them and are not open to learning, they're very selfish. They just want their gratification.
But they only want, okay, I don't care if somebody else wants to get off. Why do they only want it once, Jonelle? I want to have sex all day. My ideal day.
Do it again. Do it again.
My mm-hmm. ideal day.
More.
Thank you, Chemical More. Brothers.
Do it again. Do it.
Okay. Like, I want to have sex. I want to have a little nap. I want to have a little spoon. I want to have sex again. Mm-hmm. I want to have a little nap. I want to have sex again.
Snack.
Like,
you forgot snack.
Snack. Oh. Either human and snack. Water. Either human snack or food snack. Whatever.
Yeah, a couple of times. Like, have a fuck day. Like, a whole fuck weekend.
Weekend.
Fuck day.
Good.
Preaching
Weekends
to
are
the
good.
Choir, that is also my, that's in my bucket list right now. But.
Have you done it?
Of course, but not as.
How many times can you fuck in a day?
Be realistic.
Penetrative my and guess coming.
Is 4.
Yeah. You know what? You don't even have to come
24,
all the times.
24 hours, I can go up to 6. 4 will be okay. But Guessed in all it. Honesty...
But you're good about making sure women come beforehand.
Well, that's the point because men feel that all they need to do is like stick their groin in other person's groin and that's it. They kind of don't want to use their fingers, use their mouth because... physiologically, once you pop, it takes time for your
that
you
I
to
get.
Regenerate. The thing is,
we're not mad at that.
Yeah, and a lot of people think
we're mad at not getting the job
exactly.
done and then fucking us mm-hmm. and then being dead.
Yep.
Just being yep. just a lump, a potato for the rest of the fucking day. Useless. Absolutely useless.
And that's
I'm
why
I'm going to use you to make okay. myself a meal and mashed potato. I'm going
to
eat
let's
later.
Let's also talk about how cruel nature is that men peak like 18 to 21, women in their early 30s. And I recently had a conversation. 40s. Yeah, I recently had a conversation with a friend of mine who's a little bit older. And I think she's gone through menopause. And we were talking about that and how off it is and how throughout the time in a relationship, the need might shift back and forth between the two partners, and she was not getting satisfied by the person who she used to fuck all the time. And I was like, well, you know, that I was like, I'll probably be over that and da, 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 and it'll go away. And she was like, oh no, when you get to be like 39, 40, it gets worse. Yep. And I'm like, what do you mean? Because like men can hardly keep up with me now. And it's going to get worse.
So fun fact, like my mom is 57 and she has an insatiable sexual appetite and she's had a better sex life than me for my entire sexually active life. For the last 10 years, she's constantly referring to her great sex life. And I'm like, good for you.
Gross.
She's like, you should just be happy. Your parents have a sex, like have a happy marriage. And I'm like, I'm happy for you and I'm sad for me. So I can have that.
But that was not the most interesting thing in that conversation that you and I had. The most interesting thing was you said that's why you enjoy dating non-cis male or whatever the fuck. Because you don't have that issue.
Yes.
Because when you date women and trans people, they just want to fuck all day too.
Oh my God. It's fantastic. Because like we can literally just have an entire day or weekend of just like crazy. And it's, right. It's just fun.
So getting back to that, how was your weekend? How was the strap on?
It was good. I mean, it was, like I said, it was like, I kind of had to finagle to kind of connect my mind to what it felt like. Cause it does feel different, like wearing the harness and wearing the thing. And there was like a couple different dicks to choose from. And I was like trying to choose a dick and stuff.
So what sizes were they?
So the one that I used was 9 inches.
Whoa.
But the thing is that people don't talk about is inches and insertable inches. So they're obviously like, it's different. Like obviously sometimes if you're fucking someone with 8 inches, you may not use all 8 inches. I mean, like I would because I'm a size queen, but anyway, yeah. So it was a 9-incher and it was like the, the feedback that I got was, are you sure this isn't your first time using a strap on?
That's
that
good.
While being, are you sure this is?
Are you sure this is your first time?
Okay.
When I was like, and that was like during, and that was a great piece of feedback.
You're a dancer. You have nimble hips.
And how was it receiving that, especially since you've been off the peen?
So I was actually really, really nervous. And I had this conversation about that because I was super nervous about receiving because I've had some peen trauma.
Some dick hating
because I'd experienced some trauma and I got triggered by an asshole, some Tinder douchebag at the beginning of the year. And I was really kind of nervous about the idea of receiving anything that would even mimic the feeling of being fucked by a cis man. And I was actually terrified about getting triggered, but I had the full conversation beforehand just in case I freaked out. I was like, look, if I'm going to freak out, I'll tap out and it'll be fine. And then it ended up being totally fine and totally great. And I was like, all right, I don't know what I was freaking out about, but I was just being cautious.
And how did you meet the person you're dating now? They came to your shows.
Yeah.
Okay. And you've spent 2 weekends, whole weekends there. How's that been for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a pretty like escalated getting to know you process.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, it's gotten pretty intensely intimate in a pretty short amount of time, but nothing that's scary.
Yeah, you're having fun.
I know I'm very reticent to date super lesbians, actually, because they tend to U-Haul and then get really, really possessive and itchy, scratchy, needy. And
which makes you crazy.
I can't fucking do that. And this isn't happening. So that's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Because I have a radar for that now. I'm afraid of the U-Haul. I'm like, keep that fucking truck away from me.
And everything else is good because the person you dated before couldn't really get the job done.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I actually had said like today, I think that it's nice to have somebody that knows how to communicate with my body in a way that actually works and to have good sexual chemistry. And I haven't had good sexual chemistry for like a year.
Yeah,
I think the last time was the dude that was going to be my baby's first anal. That didn't happen.
Baby's first anal.
Hashtag that.
Hashtag baby's first anal.
So do you want to keep dating this one person or you want to keep maybe dating
What's the setup right now? Because it's dating and I'm assuming
it's
that
not,
you haven't
it's not
really
monogamous. I want to, and they're not monogamous either. I want to keep it open. I want to, you know, like keep it kind of easy breezy. And, you know, part of the reason is that I think that I'd probably like to spread myself out a little bit, mostly because it's just like, you know, safer emotionally and stuff like that. And I just want to experience different things with different people. And I don't want to feel
talking about your sexual bucket list.
That too.
Oh, what else? Mm. So there was the butt licking and now there was the strap on. What else?
There's other things that can be ticked off my list from the same person though. Like shibari and like all this other stuff.
What's that?
Like
it's rope, the art rope of rope play. Tying.
Yeah.
Okay. I always wanted to do a double-sided dildo.
Oh.
Have you ever done that?
No, but
like
I'm sure
a requiem
one.
For a dream style. I feel like you should do that. Oh.
That was, I just remember, it's one of my favorite movies.
This is a very nostalgic sigh, Janelle.
Yeah. Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah, it was awesome. Things seemed to be going well.
So aside from the strap-on, did you check off anything from your sexual bucket list over the weekends?
Dead air.
Deep thought.
Dead air.
Deep thought. Deep thought.
Dead air.
Furrowed eyebrows.
Thought to that hoe over there.
Yeah, I feel like you're withholding a lot right now.
I'm not. I'm really not.
No, maybe she's
there was something interesting about this person, too.
Oh.
That you were watching a TV show recently and said you wanted to talk about.
Oh, yeah. I think it's it's important to mention that, like, it's... what was I talking about? What was the TV show? I'm real hazy. I've had a lot of sex today.
So exactly. See, that, like, I
not
think
paying
it's
attention
the...
anymore. So I'll go ahead and lead you. She is autistic, right?
On the spectrum.
On the spectrum. Okay. And what is the TV show called? Is that
Atypical?
Atypical. So you've recently been watching Atypical.
Yeah.
And your brother.
Yes, my brother.
Do you prefer on the spectrum? Is that the
my brother has Asperger's. He's on the spectrum and he's always had difficulty with dating. He's always had an interest in women, a deep love and appreciation for women, a deep respect for women, and had no fucking idea how to handle them.
And Atypical is about someone with Asperger's.
I think he has autism specifically, but it's pretty broad in terms of the triggers that they deal with on the TV show. It's really, I think they have actually dealt with it delicately, and it's nice to see that there's a resource.
It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
And you've enjoyed it.
I have enjoyed it, and I suggested it to this person to watch, because I was like, I feel like you might have some resonating feelings about this, because it's about dating and about being on the spectrum.
And you knew right away when you started dealing with them.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, there's some pretty simple tells with the way that folks on the spectrum communicate.
Mm-hmm.
It's great that
you're so used to it that it's like nothing.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a particular experience for me, only because like I coached my brother through a lot of heartbreak throughout his teenage years, and women were cruel to him unnecessarily, and he was like harshly bullied, and he was like all he was doing was trying to find love and trying to find someone to appreciate him and finding someone to, like, you know, cuddle him or be excited about the things he was excited about and all that kind of thing. And like, it's difficult as well because people on the spectrum are like, they obsess about certain things. It might be like you have an obsession with Star Wars, or you might have an obsession with Christmas.
And what is she obsessed with?
She conveniently is obsessed with vaginas.
Perfect! Yeah.
So
feel free. Have at her, literally.
Hey.
Really convenient. But I mean, like, There's lots of nuances and eccentricities about folks on the spectrum that are misconstrued. And like, as long as you have an open line of communication, really, that's the most important thing about dating a person, regardless of if they're neurotypical or atypical. And I have some atypical tendencies myself, so I kind of like totally get it. And yeah, so I think everyone that is interested in... Or maybe, actually, I had posted on Facebook a link to Atypical and said that it was really interesting, and it's important to know that people on the spectrum have a complete willingness to date and a total ability to date. Just a lot of neurotypical people are afraid to deal with that because there's a lot of kind of caveats that come with dating someone that has, you know, kind of differences in the way they communicate or the way they interpret things or all that kind of stuff.
People have suggested that I am based on how blunt I am all the time. I've had very dear friends say, you might have Asperger's.
Well, I mean,
you're just weird.
Scooter Pie is one of them.
Did your parents drop you when you were a kid?
No.
That is fucking awful, Jonelle.
They probably dropped all of us, though.
Yeah, my mom did.
Everyone's been dropped. It doesn't give you fucking Asperger's. It's Asperges. It's whatever. I don't know how you pronounce it.
Oh, my God. I love this conversation.
So in Australia, we pronounce Asperges.
Uh-huh. And when we met, and I legitimately did not know how it was spelled because there's plenty of words that I've had to be correct on. That's part of the reason why I don't think it's necessarily classes. And people get really upset about sometimes when people correct your pronunciation. It can be regional, and it's not necessarily indicative of the education.
It's how you correct that person.
Literally tomato, tomato.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, but there's a ton of words that I've learned how they were actually spelled and actually pronounced over the years. And Asperger's is one of them. Mm-hmm. So I was pronouncing it Asperger's. And
I was pronouncing it Asperger's.
So when, right. So on Allegra's birthday, actually, when we met up, and I don't remember why this was the conversation.
I don't even know what happened. We were going to see drag queens and play bingo. Like, it was a very simple plan.
But I, for whatever reason, I decided to try to say it what you say is the correct way. And Jonelle looked at me, and this is like my favorite thing. I remember it. It cracks me up so many times after this day. And I said, what is it? And you said,
Asperges.
Right. And then Jonelle looks at us both confused, and he couldn't really hear the whole thing. And he goes, no, it's Asperger's. Ass and burgers. Asperger's.
Both of y'all are fucking wrong. And I loved it.
So anyway.
Neurotypicals. Are
you sure that there's no other sexual bucket list that was checked off the past 2 weekends?
Oh, I feel I like you know something.
No, I know I don't. I just, because I'm very excited.
Just, he's just digging. I'm very excited. I'm very happy.
Oh, okay. There was one other experiment that we kind of have talked about trying to do for a while.
Yes!
Which was we were going to talk about.
Pineapple.
Yes. So there's the ongoing thing of if you drink pineapple juice, does it make your cum or your pussy taste any different? And by the way, pussies should always just taste like pussy.
Pussies are delicious regardless.
And then I had a conversation with someone that said that they could tell through taste of the vagina when their partner had had curry and sometimes also maybe onions or garlic. So at one point we talked about doing a controlled test, but you have to sleep with the same person enough times that it's not just like that day and that you actually know that it's like coming through their vagina pores. And it just so happened that was it your first date?
Second date.
Your second date with this person, they were sipping on some pineapple juice at the bar. Is that correct?
Yes. That's correct. And the first thing I thought was, well, if we do end up having sex, I can test that theory.
And did you think it made a difference?
No, absolutely not. Okay. Absolutely not.
Maybe it's...
Just to be sure, I ate an entire pineapple the other day.
I saw you did.
I know I did. And? My tongue hurt because I forgot.
Acid.
Yeah, pineapple's a meat tenderizer, and my tongue almost fell off. It hurt.
You probably have little ulcers now. That's a lot of sugar.
I don't know if my pussy tastes any better, but my tongue sure hurt. You might have a yeast
infection. I want to try that experiment.
That's a thing, but I've never had that.
It's not a thing. So, like,
Now can we try curry next? Can you feed her curry?
Maybe I'll feed myself curry.
Okay, you can both have curry.
I think, okay, so...
Then you won't know,
though.
No, one person eats curry, the other person has to not.
Right, yeah.
No sharing.
I feel like the test is flawed because, like, this person that they've tested it on to see that the pineapple actually comes through clearly isn't drinking any water because water obviously...
Dilutes stuff.
So if you're like...
Okay, so have some curry and dehydrate yourself.
That sounds like a literal fucking nightmare.
Well, it's a controlled experiment.
What if I fart in someone's face while they're down there? Like,
if they love you,
from the curry?
They won't mind.
Yeah, clearly.
If they love you, they won't mind. Oh, that, my
that's
God,
the actual
Janelle.
Test. Have you been farted?
He has been farted on. He told a story.
I have.
In your mouth?
It was an accident.
In your mouth?
Yeah. I was going down on her and she farted.
Sharded?
I was making
Did
jokes.
You just say, no, I'm sorry. Farted. Did you say sharded?
Farted. With a P-H. Farted.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
I was cracking jokes while going down to my ex and she laughed and something came out.
Dude.
I gagged. My God. I almost threw up, but we were laughing all the afternoon because I was like, doing this and making a joke and he was like, stop it, I want to laugh. And she laughed and it,
She clearly had been holding in that fart for a while, Janelle. That's how that works.
Had she farted in front of you before that day?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is my expert talking about, plus she's vegetarian, and they those fart farts.
Vegan farts are rancid.
My God.
It's all grain, except when it comes out your ass.
Vegan farts are as bad as lactose intolerant farts.
They really are. They really are.
They really are. They really are. So on that note.
On fart notes.
Thanks for listening.
Don't forget to send us your email at send us email for your comments, suggestions, topics, your stories, paradedicks@gmail.com. Follow us on all our social media outlets and leave a voicemail at 347-927-2401.
Peace.
Peace.